Hi, I'm Tom, Meatball Fulton. Dave Adams was up here being interviewed for a documentary about ZBS, and this interview was filmed in our studio in December 2017. Dave, who played Mojo in the Jack Flanders stories, tells about driving up here from New York with Robert Lorick. It's about a four-hour drive, so over the years, when they'd come up here to record, he really got to know Robert. You'll notice he sometimes refers to Robert as Jack, as though they were interchangeable. There's a point in the interview where he'll mention a bench. It's in the front of the studio. It overlooks the Hudson River. When we were recording the Jack Flanders stories and we'd take breaks, Robert would sometimes go outside and sit on the bench and just look out over the river. And in December, when Dave came up here to do this interview and saw the bench looking so lonely and remembered Robert, and you'll hear him refer to it as the bench without a sitter. Before he began the interview, Dave read some of the letters and emails we received after Robert's passing, and here's just a few.
I remember first listening to Jack Flanders on the radio sometime around 1980. I fell in love with the character and the story and all the adventures that came later. Robert Lorick's wry, gentle voice was a magical elixir that held Mr. Fulton's magnificent tales together. I feel that I lost an old friend. This news is heartbreaking. My condolences to you and the entire family community. Even though I never knew him, as a lifelong listener, I feel I have grown up with him in a way. He had such a wonderful voice. Thanks to you and the ZBS gang, there are many hours of recordings and memories to cherish. And know that the work you and Robert have done will remain with the listeners for the rest of our lives. I'm so very sorry to read this sad news of Robert Lorick, whose wonderful work I deeply admired. Even without closing my eyes, I can hear Jack's voice in my memory's ear all the way over here in Belize. Grackles and geckos are calling out with the crickets as the day's light fades. I send deep sympathies to honor this era's end. Robert Lorick was nothing but genius. He always projected the feeling of not only being in character, but loving it. I always felt that Jack was Robert and Robert was Jack. I don't know what it would be like without the voice of Jack Flanders. Oh, sure, I can always re-listen to past shows, but to know that Jack's voice is silenced forever, I am so sad. I am so saddened by the news of Robert Lorick's passing. His voice is like a friend to my husband and I. Over the years, we listened to Jack over and over again, because each time we listened to the different episodes, we discovered things that we had not noticed the previous times we listened to them. His voice is always very soothing and calm. We really miss him and are saddened that Jack will not have any more adventures. I've been listening to ZBS and Robert's voice for most of my life. Since I first heard Fourth Tower of Inverness on NPR Radio Theater so long, long ago. Robert and everyone at ZBS has honestly changed my life and helped shape the type of person I have become. Thank you all for everything. This news is heartbreaking. My condolences to you and the entire family community. Even though I never knew him, as a lifelong listener, I feel I have grown up with him in a way. He had such a wonderful voice. Thanks to you and the ZBS gang, there are many hours of recordings and memories to cherish. take care of yourself, and know that the work you and Robert have done will remain with the listeners for the rest of our lives. I could feel when he was sort of going down. One time I had to meet him in New York City, and I think that's the first time I saw him with his cane. You know, and I had to help him get in the car because I didn't want him to slip on the ice. And he put his hand on my shoulder. And I said, well, hey, I'm the kind of friend that you can lean on. You know, don't ever worry about leaning on my shoulder. You know, and, but I, he's getting weaker, put it that way. But still, he wasn't weak enough that I thought that he'd be gone. You know, he had been through, but God, still had a bullet in him from a mugging. You know, they had a shunt with some kind of chemotherapy in it. The thing popped open and spilled all over his skin and stuff like that. And yet he had that same, well, laid-back voice, you know, the matter-of-fact way of talking about it. And he's a friend, and, you know, he's a friend forever. And you don't forget friends. Before I get emotional. Anything, just ask me something.
I really appreciate you reading the letters for him, because
It
struck me immediately that they're heavy, you know?
They are heavy, and he was Jack Flanders, you know, and you could tell that the letters are going to reflect what he, you know, what they felt, you know, that he was. They are some heartfelt letters. I'm not supposed to get emotional, you know. I'm supposed to keep myself calm. I'm getting emotional again now. Give me another question.
It's okay to be emotional. I mean, it's an emotional, it's, I can imagine. I've never worked with somebody, so I think I was, Moon Over Morocco was the first one. That was 1974.
Yeah.
So we're talking, what, 40 years?
Uh-huh. But, all right, there's two characters that are associated with ZBS, Max Fruchter and Miles Grenadier. Now, those two guys got me involved in this because they knew a friend of mine named Randy Dixon, who was a DJ. And they said they needed somebody to do a logo for them. So Randy asked me if I would, you know, meet them downtown and do a logo. So as soon as I saw these two characters, it's like I'd known them from other lives. I knew them. You know, you just got that feeling. And like, if Max comes over here today, you know, hey, he's still Max. You know, I mean, I wouldn't expect him to be named anything else. Miles was, happy-go-lucky genius. Yeah. And when I ran into Jack, it's the same thing. You know, this was Jack Flanders. Hey, you know, we about 1,000 years ago we met, you know, that kind of stuff. Your friendship is something that starts instantaneously. You know, you're talking, and next thing you know, you say, well, I'm going to see this guy again. You know, and like you keep him in your mind because it's so much, what, the simpatico, is that the word? That's what's there. And like, Jack had a strength that you wouldn't believe. I mean, he's the strongest guy. Because not just because he's a big guy, but he's strong inside. You know, he's strong and his mind, you know, he's strong in his competence, you know, and in his confidence in himself. And those are the qualities that you admire in somebody. Yeah. What am I doing? Wandering off? Come on now. You're supposed to be a...
You know, well, the thing that I love about his voice and just what he embodied with the Jack Flanders character is he, you know, he just had this quality, the laid back and just so easygoing.
Yeah.
So calm. And was he, is that the kind of person he was?
That's the kind of person he was. See, Tom, bless his heart, he does stuff like that. You know, he makes your character around the way you are. So you're not out acting outside of yourself. You know, you're yourself in a different adventure. Yeah. And Jack, yeah, that's the way he was. You know? And that's what made the character so believable. You know, because it was no stretch for him to talk like that or to react in a certain way. You know, that was the way he was. Yeah.
And same with you, with Mojo Sam. I mean,
Tom knew that I was involved in mysticism and voodoo and all that kind of stuff, and so he wrote Mojo Sam to fit into that, and it worked. What can I say? Even when the first one, Moon of Morocco, the things he had me say and do. With things that I would say and do, you know? And it wasn't a strain for me. I wasn't acting out of character, you know? I was being myself in a very strange adventure. Oh, man, we would do some long hours, I'm telling you. Oh, Tom would have us there till, 12 o'clock at night and stuff like that. Yeah.
What was the mood like then if you're working that late?
What the mood was, you would sit here and see that little light up over the doorway there, the top one. You'd count. If you count to 3 seconds and that light is not on, you got to do it over again. That's all there is to it. And they say, oh, that was nice, gang. But I need more energy. And you got to straighten yourself up, you know, and project more energy into it, you know. It's still like being in a school, in a class, you know, and you want to get a good mark. And when the light does come on, they say, okay, we'll keep that. Oh, man. We laugh a lot. We talk a lot. You know, when we finish here at the studio, we'll go over and we'll have dinner. We'll sit around the dinner table. We always laugh. Like I said, we always laugh. We always have fun. And he liked that bench. I took a picture of that bench. And Jack said he wanted it. Yeah. So I sent him a copy of it, and he had it hanging in his apartment. The bench, oh, man, that's deep. Because the bench was empty. Nobody was on it. And it was looking across the Hudson River. And it's almost like Kennedy when they, you know, had his horses ride by with his boots turned backwards, you know. The horse without a rider, the bench without a sitter, you know. And the more I think about it, that's him. Yeah. And when I got here, the first thing I did, I looked, where was that bench? Yeah. Some things that happen are not planned. They are because of the way you are, you know. You're going to find yourself stepping into situations that you can handle because of what you got behind you, you know, that brought you to this point.
Well, I think actually that's a good point, because I think a lot of Tom's work is that it isn't about sort of the incompetence of
folks.
It's much more about learning.
Learning. And basically Jack knows things. You know, he knows, about the mystic stuff. He might doubt some little aspect of it, but he knows enough that he can deal with it, that he can go into this situation and come out on top of it. And that's his strength. We're along for the adventure. I like the Zeppelin. That was nice. I wish that had kept going. I just listened to that thing 3 months ago. Every single episode of it, you know. And at the end, I knew, where are they going next? Where are they going next, you know?
Yeah, I think that's one of the best. Yeah, from really, really, it's something about the steam room. It really puts you, the atmosphere.
Yes.
The sounds.
Uh-huh.
And my favorite thing from that, I think, is when Jack turns into a tree.
Brother.
Which I think, frankly, is Tom, because, you know, Tom is a tree guy. He loves his trees.
Yeah, well, these trees out here are pretty nice.
Did Robert ever talk about, like, the care with, you know, with Jack, like, because he, you know, I think when, you know, from reading those letters, and you really feel, and what you said, that, you know, Robert really was Jack.
Yeah.
I mean, did he feel that? I mean, did he ever articulate or talk to you about?
No. All the way up there, 4 hours, he never said anything about Jack Flanders. But when he put on the headset, you know, magic time. If the people who wrote the letters, if they could sit in on one of our sessions, then each letter would be a book long, you know, because they would see so much more than what they heard on the radio. And they would see so much more of Jack. Hear these letters. It's like, wow, they've been listening since we started. You know, like the whole family listens, you know, and they can recite parts of it. Oh, man, you know. It makes you feel good and like it astounds you, you know. Because we're here in this room with these microphones and the walls and stuff like that. No audience. But here's the audience. And know that the audience appreciates what you do. Hey, man, this is our applause. You know, Jack's applause, his standing ovation. Yeah, that's good.